The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Plague 2020. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway. Thank you for joining me this week. Hope you had a grand weekend. Hope you got out there and did what you wanted to do with a mask on, got some exercise, got to see some friends in the acceptable numbers. We had good news on the virus over the weekend. The numbers have trended down for 2 weeks now, from 67,000 cases on July 22nd to 53,905 cases on July the 26th. In the United States, total, there have been 162 deaths attributed to COVID, 5.05 million cases worldwide, almost 20 million cases, 731,000 dead. But of course, we know the world doesn't count very well. The good news continues to be children. In the United States, 45 children total. Under the age of 15, each one of them a horrific tragedy, but 45 is the number, have died from COVID. Contrast that, not with the elderly, where we know the disease has ravaged people, but with, say, 45 to 64-year-olds. 25,000 people aged 45 to 64 have died from COVID. Again, 45 children under the age of 15. I remain adamant that we ought to take our youngest teachers and our youngest children and get them back in the K through six grades, maybe K through four if you want to be a super abundantly safe. But we have to teach. We can't have a cohort that does not know how to read or add or line up or get fed or get basic medical attention. There are other diseases of childhood we have to worry about. We have to worry about vaccinations. 45 dead versus I don't know how many other children died from what other causes. But keeping small children at home in an abusive environments and environments where there might be drug or alcohol abuse or physical abuse makes no sense to me. Never has, never will. A little good news to begin the week. Over in Great Britain in the Telegraph this morning, Alzheimer's disease treatment set to be fast-tracked and medical breakthrough. How great is that? The first drug which could halt Alzheimer's disease is to be fast-tracked for approval and what experts say would be the biggest breakthrough yet. It is... It's hard to pronounce. It's called aducanumab, A-D-U-C-A-N-U-M-A-B. Aducanumab. And it's close. It's going to be available in 6 months. That will make it will slow the disease considerably. Over the weekend, President Trump signed four executive orders, actually, on Saturday, to delay payroll tax collection for those making under $104,000 a year. Unemployment aid is extended by $400 a week, although only federal contribution is $300 a week. The states have to come up with $100 a week. Top officials can stop evictions, and student loan payments are deferred until December 31st. He did that because Congress wouldn't act. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are indifferent to the pain of Americans, and they were asking for Green New Deal stuff. and pension bailouts and a whole bunch of stuff, and he said no. Now, there's a constitutional question here. Just because President Obama did this, it's called selective enforcement, doesn't mean President Trump can, but that President Obama wasn't stopped in his doing suggests that he can, but there will be litigation. In the meantime, there will be relief for people. And those executive orders are the subject of a Wall Street Journal editorial that I will read for you later. Portland erupted in anger last night and arson. And in D.C. on Saturday, 20 people were shot at a party, one dead in southwest Washington. China, by the way, is cracking down in Hong Kong. Jimmy Lai, who's been a guest on this show, noted dissident, was arrested in Hong Kong. That's bad news. Now, I want to go to the interview that Ambassador Robert O'Brien gave yesterday. He is the National Security Advisor. He is suffering from COVID, or he is cured now. He's better. Good friend of mine. Been on this program, I don't know, 150 times. Ambassador O'Brien was on Face the Nation yesterday with Margaret Brennan, and she began by asking him how he's doing. Cut number 7.
How are you feeling, and do you have after effects?
Well, it's always great to be back on your show, Margaret, but it's especially good to be back now. And look, I've recovered fully, and I'm very, very grateful. I was blessed and had a light case. I want to thank the White House medical team and Dr. Sean Conley for their great care while I suffered through this this virus. And I also want to thank my colleagues from the president, the vice president, everyone down who was so supportive of me personally. And I hope that anyone else who's suffering from coronavirus, who's away from work, who's quarantined, has the same level of support from their colleagues at their office as I did from mine. So, you know, it's great to be back, and I've been very blessed. But this is a tough thing. It's a nasty virus, and it's done great damage to our country. And my heart goes out to the folks who didn't make it. I was fortunate, but there are a lot of people who didn't make it, and there are a lot of people who are suffering greatly as a result of this virus, and having been through this, my heart really goes out to him.
That was Robert O'Brien thanking people, and I think it was notable. The White House rallied around their national security advisor. He's back at work, and immediately the issue of testing came up because, of course, he's at the very top of the United States. He gets elite medical care. What about that? Margaret Brennan asked, cut number 8.
Now, unless you work in Major League Baseball or at the White House, you don't have access to regular asymptomatic testing. That's just not where we are as a country. How long before the average American can get that?
Well, we're working on testing, and I think what's happened with testing in America is really a miracle. I mean, there's no country in the world that comes close to what America is doing on testing. But we're working on getting more testing out there, and our great American companies are coming up with faster tests, more mobile tests, and we need to get testing out there. But it's not just
testing. We were supposed to be at 5 million tests a day at this point. We're not nearly that. In fact, we're now at 5 million infections as a country.
Well, we've had a lot of infections as a country, and again, this is something we need to keep in mind. I mean, this came out of China, and we've been fighting it ever since. The whole world's been fighting it, and there have been hundreds of thousands or maybe over 1 million people worldwide who've been killed as a result of this virus, and we've got to remember where it came from, but we're going to fight like heck. We're working hard on vaccines. We're working hard on testing machines that are portable and fast so that people around the country can be tested quickly. We're working on therapeutics. I mean, I'm so impressed with our scientists and our doctors and our first responders and the folks who are attacking this disease, and God bless them all.
Yeah, and then Ambassador O'Brien was asked about voting during the pandemic. Cut number 9.
Ambassador, this country has never voted in a pandemic. Don't you need a boost to election security for states across this country? Don't you need more money before November?
Well, we're working on that with Congress, and what's really a shame, and you had a piece in your lead up to my conversation with you about the eviction that was taking place. I mean, we have people that are going to be facing eviction, and the president took executive action because Congress wouldn't come forward to help people who are being evicted. So the president
on election security that was not actually included in these executive actions. Are you saying you do expect a bill to pass before November?
Well, I hope so. And I want to make it clear, there's been no administration that's done more for election security than this administration. Remember, the things that happened that in 2016 and prior to that were under prior administrations. We've been putting hundreds of millions of dollars into election security. At the NSC, we've been running a policy coordination process for months and months and months on election security. We're working with DHS. We're working with secretaries of state across the country.
Yeah.
There's no higher concern that we have than maintaining the free and fair elections that are the cornerstone of our democracy. And look, we know that there are people, you know, overseas, the Chinese, the Iranians, the Russians, others, who would like to interfere with our democracy. And we're gonna fight against that, and we're gonna take every step necessary to harden our election infrastructure, harden our cyber infrastructure, and protect our elections. 100%.
100%. Now, when we come back, I'm going to play for you the extended conversation Margaret had with the Ambassador Robert O'Brien on election interference. That's where the news was. The ambassador flat out said China wants Joe Biden to win, but it doesn't matter to him. He doesn't want China interfering in the election. Russia wants Joe Biden to win. Everybody wants Trump out, who are adversaries abroad. People have to understand that. Trump, because he is unpredictable, because he is quite unpredictable. They want predictable Joe, slow Joe, sleepy Joe elected. And Robert O'Brien explains that. I'll play that for you after the break. Also, Attorney General Barr on with Mark Levin last night. We have that coming up. And our regular roundup of Monday people to talk on the weekend news. Don't go anywhere, America. You could run over and order Brad Thor's brand new book, Near Dark. If you're going on vacation this week and you haven't got something to read, Near Dark is the number one bestseller in America. Brad Thor is at it again. Stay tuned, America. It's the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.
Everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs somebody to love.
Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Good Monday morning. You get going to work. Time to get going. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, back from COVID, recovered completely, got to work yesterday on the front of the White House lawn, talking to Margaret Brennan on Face the Nation about the upcoming elections and whether or not foreign hostiles are trying to interfere with them. Cut number 10.
Looking at the statement from July 24th, though, the language there says adversaries are trying to access candidates' private communications and election infrastructure. And that's at both the state and the federal networks. That sounds an awful lot like what Russia did back in 2016. But now it's happening on your watch. So what are you doing to stop it?
Well, what we're doing is we've got our cyber teams in place. DHS is working very hard to track down those malign actors. But again,
is it
it's
Russia?
Not just
again?
Russia. Well, look, we know it's China. We know it's Russia. We
tampering
know it's Iran,
with election infrastructure?
Absolutely. Trying to access Secretary of State websites and that sort of thing and collect data on Americans and engage in influence operations, whether it's on TikTok or Twitter or in other spaces. So, no, it's a real concern. But it's not just Russia, Margaret. It's the Chinese don't want the president reelected. He's been tougher on China than any president in history. And we're standing up for the first time to the Chinese Communist Party and protecting Americans, protecting our IP, protecting our economy, protecting our vaccine data. And so there are a lot of people around the world that aren't happy with America because they don't share our values. And that shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. And we're going to take every action necessary to keep folks out, whether it's China or Russia or Iran or Cuba or Venezuela or others.
I just want to clarify something here, because in the statement that we saw Friday, the counterintelligence chief released the statement saying China prefers President Trump to lose, but it specifically referred to public statements, policy disagreements. Are you here today saying that China is tampering with U.S. election infrastructure?
Well, they'd like the president to lose, and China, like Russia, like Iran, have engaged in cyber attacks and phishing and that sort of thing, with respect to our election infrastructure, with respect to websites and that sort of thing. We're aware of it, and we're taking steps to counter it. Whether it's China or Russia or Iran, we're not going to put up with it, and there will be severe consequences with any country that attempts to interfere with our free and fair elections. Whether their leaders prefer Joe Biden or prefer Donald Trump, it doesn't matter. We're Americans. We're not going to have foreign countries deciding who our next president is going to be. That's outrageous.
And it is outrageous. One more question from yesterday. Robert O'Brien and Margaret Brennan, cut number 11.
The statement Friday, specifically when it came to Russia, detailed an active campaign to denigrate Joe Biden. That was the language used, denigrate former Vice President Biden. And it specifically also mentioned Kremlin-linked actors seeking to boost President Trump's candidacy on social media and Russian television. When President Trump spoke to Vladimir Putin July 23rd, did he tell him to knock this off?
The president's told the Russians, and we've told the Russians, our counterparts, many, many times, not to get involved in our election.
But did President Trump tell President Putin?
What I don't get involved in, unlike perhaps some of my predecessors or others who leak documents, I don't get into the conversations that the president has with foreign heads of state, whether it's Russia or France or the UK, for that matter. Those are private conversations. But I can tell you, we've made it very clear to the Russians, very clear. No administration has been tougher on the Russians. We've sanctioned hundreds of Russian entities. We've sanctioned the troll farms.
But they're doing it again, is what you're saying. So the message clearly wasn't received. Did President Trump say to Vladimir Putin, knock it off this time?
Margaret, there's almost nothing we can sanction left of the Russians. We've put so many sanctions on the Russians that, by the way, that the prior administration didn't do. We've sanctioned the heck out of the Russians, individuals, companies, the government, whether it's related to Nord Stream or Rosneft. We've kicked out, literally scores of Russian spies. We've closed down all their consulates on the West Coast. We've closed down diplomatic facilities. There's not a lot left we can do with the Russians, but nevertheless, we continue to message the Russians, and President Trump continues to message the Russians, don't get involved in our elections. And by the way, that message is to the Chinese, and that message is to Tehran as well. Don't do it, because there will be severe consequences, and we've shown that. Keep in mind, all of these sanctions, all of this toughness on Russia happened under President Trump, not under prior presidents, not under Obama-Biden administration. It happened under the Trump administration.
Right, but the intelligence community is saying that the interference is also happening on President Trump's watch, which is why I'm specifically asking you, what are you doing to stop it?
Well, look, we've made it very clear to our adversaries, whether it's China or Russia or Iran, stay out of our election. We're taking steps across the board to harden our election infrastructure. We're pumping money into the states. DHS has a massive program running. In my shop at the NSC, under President Trump's direction, we've got a massive program running to keep our elections free and fair. And look, I don't want foreign governments to support Joe Biden to influence our elections. I don't want foreign governments to support President Trump to influence our elections. The American people should decide our elections. That's clear.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. I don't know if you're following the famine in Central and South America. COVID has left so many thousands of people out of work, tens of hundreds of thousands of people out of work, and people are just starving. And children are just starving. It isn't a normal bad year. It's a horrific year in Central and South America. Food for the poor has stepped up. In the first 5 days that I've asked people like you, you've donated thousands and thousands of dollars, but there's so much more to do. Listen to the UN Security Council's executive director. This is not the UN General Assembly. This is their Security Council, their executive director of food programs, David Beasley.
Now we have to live up to our pledge to protect the most vulnerable, to save lives around the world. But this is only the first part of the strategy needed to protect from a hunger pandemic caused by the coronavirus. More people could potentially die from the economic impact of COVID-19 than from the virus itself. This is why I'm talking about a hunger pandemic. It is critical that we protect the most vulnerable nations and communities from its potentially devastating effects.
You know, Food for the Poor has a long time record of getting rice and beans. I mean, it's not elaborate stuff. It's just calories to stay alive. And if you can give $5, that's all you can afford. Thank you. You go to HughHewitt.com and you'll see emergency food relief at the top. Or you can call 855-359-HOPE, 855-359, I want to get the numbers right, 4673. 855, which is toll-free, 359-4673, or go to the emergency food relief banner at the top of HughHewitt.com. Attorney General Barr joined the great one, Mark Levin, last night, and Mark Levin began this way, cut number two.
I was a chief of staff to an attorney general, Edwin Meese. We had some very difficult hearings from time to time. I've never seen anything like this before. Obviously, it was coordinated. The goal was to have you up there and try and treat you like a pinata. Absolutely disrespectful. What were you thinking what that was going on, and what do you make of this? You've been attorney general twice now.
I think they were afraid to have me speak, and so they decided to burn up all the time and not give me any time to answer. So I quickly caught on to the tactic.
And what do you make of the change of the whole nature of hearings now? I mean, they accused you of being a murderer, a terrorist. I was getting nervous that somebody might grab a Molotov cocktail from behind the table and throw it at you. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, I have the perspective of having been Attorney General 30 years ago and now, and I thought things were partisan and tough 30 years ago. Nothing compared to today. Things have fundamentally changed. And I think what has happened, and I've been thinking about this, because you know, in the old days, you could have friends across the aisle. You know, politics was part of your life, but it wasn't all-consuming. It wasn't everything. You could, you know, have communications and so forth with others. But it's now become all-consuming for many people. And I think what's happened is that the left wing has really withdrawn and pulled away from the umbrella of classical liberal values that have undergirded our society since our founding. And, you know, when within the family, we've had two ways of resolving disputes. One is discussion, the dialectic, the marketplace of ideas, trying to arrive at the truth. We had an idea that there was some truth to arrive at. And then if we couldn't reach agreement, a vote. And that's how we operated. Nowadays, you have, I think, the left has essentially withdrawn from this model and really represents a Rousseauian revolutionary party that believes in tearing down the system, that what's wrong about America today all has to do with the institutions we have, and we have to tear them down. And they're interested in complete political victory. They're not interested in compromise. They're not interested in dialectic exchange of views. They're interested in total victory. And it's a secular religion. It's a substitute for a religion. They view their political opponents and they, you know, as evil, that because we stand in the way of their progressive utopia that they're trying to reach. And that's what gives, you know, the intensity to the partisan feelings that people feel today. Because for them, this pilgrimage we're all on is a political pilgrimage. Everything is reduced to politics. For people who don't have that perspective, politics is important, but it's not the whole purpose of life.
Do you think this sort of Rousseauian ideology or Hegelism and that ballpark, do you think it has devoured the Democrat Party in the last couple of years now? And does that explain why during this hearing and in other opportunities, they will not condemn the violence? They will not condemn Antifa. Ted Cruz had a hearing the other day. One of the Democrat senators would not condemn Antifa. Do you think that's part of it?
Absolutely. I mean, I said during my hearing, can any of you just come out and say it's not okay to burn down federal courthouses? I mean, they talk about the rule of law. They talk about the importance of the federal legal system to protection of civil rights. Well, the heart of that is our court system. And they're not willing, not one of them piped up to say, no, it's not okay to be burning down federal courts. Why? Some of them are true believers. Some of them are essentially revolutionary in their outlook. They believe in tearing down the system. But many of them are just cowards who are mostly interested in getting reelected and are afraid from, about a challenge from the left. So for them, it's careerism. You know, I sort of like my current gig and I'll do anything to stay here and I won't stand up for what is right. I won't stand up for the country. I won't stand up for our institutions.
That's, by the way, a very non-subtle reference to Jerry Nadler. I must say, the Levin Show, Mark is an old friend, so you can discount this, and I admire the attorney. It's the best television. When 5 years ago, Andy Lack asked me what I wanted to do on MSNBC, I said, I'll get around to it, and I waited too long, because I should have just said Sunday nights at 10 o'clock, just let me do one-on-ones, because that's what Mark is doing. It's the best television there is. Do you know how calm it is? Now, I know it confuses the heck out of the Steelers people. They're wondering what Ian's chickens have to do with that. You know, Rousseauian? What are the roosters? What are we? And both Mark and the attorney general use that. And so it's a little high end, but it's so calm and so detailed and so persuasive. Then they begin after the overarching look at what the problem is, which is that the left wing of the Democratic Party has become disconnected from the American tradition. They got into some specifics. Here is Life, Liberty, and Levin talking about the mail-in voting issue, cut number 14 with William Barr.
I'm very worried about it. You know, as I said at the beginning, the two ways we have resolving disputes in our society and keeping the peace are discussion and voting. Right now, we're a very divided country politically. Our elections have been very close. They can turn on one state. They turn on just a few districts. And people have to have confidence in the outcome or we're going to have real problems in this country. And I think the people who want to experiment with different ways of voting right now, which are predictably, you know, can predictably create problems of integrity, are playing with fire and are grossly irresponsible.
They absolutely are. Well, I'll come back to more of the attorney general next hour. I have to check the markets brought to you by Birch Gold. Birch Gold is where you go to buy gold or to move a portion of your IRA or your 401k into precious metals. They actually take a portion of your IRA or 401k. You work it out with them how much, 10%, 20%. You want to diversify. And they move it and they secure it via physical gold metal in a gold or silver metals in a, and sometimes platinum, in a vault with your name on it. And that money stays there. It goes up and down in value, but it never depreciates much. And sometimes it goes up a lot. When I first told you about this, gold was at $1,400 an ounce. This morning, gold is at $22,040 an ounce. Now, I'm buying more gold. I wrote to them on Friday. It was at $22,070. And I haven't bought it yet, so maybe I'll pick up 30. Doesn't matter. What matters is not the 10 or the 20. What matters is the security that you get from physical precious metals, whether you hold them in your safety deposit box or they hold them for you in an IRA or 401k. Go to Birch Gold. You can do it two ways. You can go to HughGold.com and find the info there, Hugh Gold, or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Oil's at $41 a barrel this morning. And, gold ticked down to 2039.80 when I was talking to you. The 10-year treasury is at 0.56. The 3-month treasury is not making you any money. It's at 0.09%. On Friday, the Dow was up 46 points. The NASDAQ was down 97. The S&P was down 2. Overseas this morning, Japan was off a little bit. Hong Kong off a little bit. But in Europe, England and Germany are up a little bit as they look forward and they think, well, things are getting better. And I think generally, the world thinks things are getting better, generally. The vaccine, every day brings a vaccine closer, which may not be 100% efficacious, maybe only 50%, but there are a number of them coming. We will have turned the corner soon. And I think we have turned the corner now with the therapeutics. The number of deaths are still too high. It's 1,000 a day, 550 yesterday in America. Around the world, it's much higher where they don't have the advanced care. But here we are pioneering that, which will save millions of lives from this new virus. But we have to get China to play by the rules. They can't unleash another one. This is the fourth virus out of China in 10 years. And this one, they just lied about, as the National Security Advisor said, and we're all paying the price. That's why Food for the Poor is dealing with a famine, is because day labor is destroyed. There is no one building, for example, in Honduras. They aren't building the resorts that one point Honduras was in. But there is no day labor. There is no food processing. Food for the Poor is taking care of starving people because there is no work. There is no food, and that's why I go back for the second time in an hour and ask you, please go over to HughHewitt.com and go to the top of the website and hit that emergency food relief. I want to play for you again what the UN Security Council's Director of Food Program, David Beasley, said. This is the Security Council's number one food guy, please.
Now we have to live up to our pledge to protect the most vulnerable, to save lives around the world. But this is only the first part of the strategy needed to protect from a hunger pandemic caused by the coronavirus. More people could potentially die from the economic impact of COVID-19 than from the virus itself. This is why I'm talking about a hunger pandemic. It is critical that we protect the most vulnerable nations and communities from its potentially devastating effects.
You know, in the United States, we talk about what if kids don't go to school for a year. In Central and South America, it's what if kids don't eat for 3 months. They die. Food for the Poor is scrambling everything. They're asking everyone, please, $10, $100, $1,000. If you can do $10,000 or $100,000, the banner works for you, too. It's at the top of HughHewitt.com. Selena Zito is next on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined now by Selena Zito, she who writes for The Wall Street Journal, The Washington Examiner, The New York Post, and everywhere else. And you can find all of her collected work at selenazito.com. This week, she was writing in the Examiner about Pennsylvania election. Good morning, Selena. How are you?
Good morning, Sunshine. How are you?
I'm terrific. But when I read that on Thursday, Governor Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania recommended cancellation of all school sports statewide, I thought that's an arrow to the heart of the Keystone State. And by that, I mean, you've got an assignment editor. You don't need me. But I wonder what Beaver Falls will do without football. I honestly, you know, the home of Joe Namath, I can't imagine Western Pennsylvania without high school football.
Joe Namath, Tony Dorsett. I mean, the list goes on and on of greats that came out of that county, that town, and towns across the state. You know, since this is Friday Night Lights, this is football, but you know, it's also a bunch of other things too. You know, typically this time of year, you see soccer fields filled and with kids practicing, lacrosse, field hockey, baseball games, fall balls getting ready to start. You know, all of those things were stopped mid-stride on Thursday. When the governor said, I strongly recommend we're not going to do that, and then didn't even take a question and walked away from the podium.
Yeah, I don't know how many high school coaches you know, but there's a word that is dreaded and loved in the minds of a certain group of high school boys. It's called two-a-days. And two-a-days begin in August, I think just about now. And you spend, you know, 8 until 5, and moms love it, right? The kids come home, they're absolutely ragged. You got to do the laundry, they smell terrible, but they've spent all day wearing themselves out, doing drills, running laps, doing go-go's. And did he talk to the coaches? Does he have any idea what these boys are going to do without two-a-days?
Well, actually, around here, we do three-a-days.
Oh, come on. That's PA talk. It's because you guys can't count right. You think lunch counts.
No, but both of my my kids had to do 3 a days. My son played football. My daughter played Division I soccer.
So you know what the laundry is like on 3 a day week, right? Or two.
Oh, God. My house was, yes, and my house was the closest to the high school. So all the kids came to my house to eat.
So, Selena, on a serious note, I don't know what all these boys do and the girls, too. I just don't know what they do. We are not thinking about the downside of canceling sports.
Yeah. And, you know, and for those who don't like sports, and that's fine. There's a, you know, healthy percentage of people I don't like sports. Well, look, sports gives kids, even if your kid never leaves the bench, there are so many incredible lessons your child learns about teamwork, about the meaning of earning yourself off the bench, the highs of winning, but also the lessons of losing. And let's not even talk about the endorphins that it creates. And those are great stress relievers and anxiety relievers in people of all ages. So just if you just take all of those, you know, those components out of it, we are once again adding an extra layer to our children's stress.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that, you know, as though they're like little snowflakes and can't handle it. These are important parts of a young person's development. And those are gone. And then there's just that whole sense of community. The different neighborhoods are behind the different schools, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the kinds of things that churches are built around and towns are built around. These are important parts of being American. And families are not taking it well. And what's really fascinating to me is it's really difficult to see the political lines within this kind of the school closings and the sports canceling. All of a sudden, people are crossing over tribal places, and it's really hard to understand what the impact will eventually be in American politics.
Yeah, and I ask again, did he talk to the coaches? Because I think they could find coaches saying, we'll go with the 40 and under. We'll use the 50 and under coaches. We'll they could have done practice. I mean, practice more than the games matters.
Yeah, absolutely. They're good. Right now, I went from every morning seeing the kids, you know, at about 6 o'clock this morning in the morning while it's dark, like grumbling, walking down the street. I live in a walking community. The field is no further than a mile and a half from every kid's house. A lot of these kids just walk. I went from seeing them grumbling and walking every morning to nothing. And what was really interesting was the band was practicing, and the kids were literally playing their flutes and saxophones and trombones through their masks. And I could see them playing every morning. It's gone.
Tom Wolf, Democrat. I think they want to crater people's hopes and dreams. Bad, bad mistake by Governor Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania. I hope other governors aren't that dumb. Selena Zito, selenazito.com. Thank you, my friend. Don't go anywhere, America. Hour number two of the Hugh Hewitt Show coming straight up. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.